Impeachment proceedings continue in Washington. In the House, the prosecution will make its case against former President Donald Trump for incitement of insurrection. Security is still at heightened levels outside the Capitol building. National Guard members are there and fencing with razor wire still posted out front. But how long will this continue, and how did the Capitol breach change the state of U.S. national security? For this, we're joined now by James Stavridis. He's a retired Navy admiral and former NATO Supreme Allied Commander. First of all, Admiral, just a practical question. How long will Washington look like the way it does today, with heavy police security, National Guard, and limited access for the public?
Marco, it's going to be determined by the intelligence generated by the FBI as they look at whether or not there is a realistic threat of some kind of repetition of the terrible events we saw on the 6th of January. Realistically, my assessment would be that it will be downsized significantly following the conclusion of this impeachment trial. To put a number on it, I'd say it'll start to look normal, if you will, in about 2 weeks.
Zooming out to the whole country, what are some other national security implications that followed the Capitol breach? What has changed throughout the country, and how wide do you see the threat right now?
Let's start with the U.S. Department of Defense. New Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, former general, a good friend of mine, roughly a contemporary, has asked for a 60-day stand down, which means that over the next 60 days, every unit in the military will take a day and look at the challenges posed by extremism, white supremacy. Has that penetrated the ranks of the Department of Defense? I don't think so to a level of national concern, but certainly it's worth looking at that. Looking at municipal law enforcement, I think you're going to see heightened attention paid to extremism and white supremacy. And finally, the FBI will have turned a great deal of its terrorism apparatus to looking at these domestic terror threats. Those are big changes, and they have all come since the 6th of January.
So that stand down, it's kind of incredible, a pause in normal operations for commanders to remind their ranks of their mission and to talk about extremism in the military. Have you ever seen anything like this in your time in the armed forces?
No, and it is a sad state of affairs that the Secretary of Defense is forced to do this, but he clearly has challenges. A recent poll by the Military Times, which is kind of the best sourced polling data on active duty military, indicated that one-third of active duty military had at least seen instances of racism, radical activity in the ranks, white supremacy. I hasten to say that doesn't mean a third of the military follows those kind of beliefs. I would guess it's a tiny percentage. But even a small number can have outsized influence. And let's face it, every member of the military is a volunteer who has sworn to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. You really want that number to be zero. So this is a significant challenge for the military, and I'm glad Secretary Austin is addressing it.
The military stand down, is it a symbolic move, or do you believe that this will actually work and addressing it for, I don't know, a day will make a difference?
I think it is both symbolic in the sense, Marco, that it demonstrates that the leadership at the very highest levels is looking and taking this seriously. But I think there's a pragmatic component to it as well. Each of these units will spend a day refocusing, if you will, on that oath to the Constitution, on stamping out inherent, incipient, or institutional acts of racism. It will raise consciousness. And will it solve all the problems in one day? Absolutely not. But it at least gets us down the path, both symbolically and pragmatically.
Before we go on, Admiral, I'm just curious to know from you how much the various U.S. military operations around the world in recent decades have radicalized parts of the armed forces. When you think about that possibility, what occurs to you?
When I look at what is happening today, I think the military is really just a reflection of our society at large in the United States. People come into the military from all walks of life, from every state in the Union. Some of them come in with very fundamental beliefs that are difficult to change in the military. And as our society has become more polarized, Marco, you're going to see more of that within the military. When you add to that the stress that you mentioned of long deployments in these forever wars, being away from their families, with each other in close quarters in Iraq and Afghanistan. These can be petri dishes for creating the kind of challenges that we see in society, and they're reflected in the military as well.
Petri dishes in what way?
When people are cooped up together, they're conducting combat operations, they don't have that day-to-day break off, go home, be with your spouse, be with your children, get away from the office, if you will, there becomes tension and pressure that is heightened, and it can lead to people having the influence on others simply because they have much more access to them over time. The amount of time, if you will, in the office, in this case, the office has been for many of these soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, the office has been close-knit combat operations forward.
I'm speaking with retired Navy Admiral and former NATO Supreme Allied Commander James Stavridis about the aftermath of the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. So that insurrection, Admiral, that is being debated right now by Democrats and Republicans, regardless of the outcome of the impeachment trial, is this a post-9/11 situation where this is the new normal?
It is not. I do not believe. I think that there will be higher levels of security around the Capitol, but I think that will be in the range of 200 or 300 additional troops, if you will, not even troops. These are going to be Capitol Police officers. The Capitol Police Force, as it currently exists, is between 2,000 and 3,000 sworn officers. They're backed up by the D.C. police, and they are backed up by the D.C. National Guard. So I don't think we're going to add a lot of individual large numbers of troops. I think you're going to see some of that fencing coming down. But again, this will be conditions-based, which means it'll depend on the intelligence that we are gathering, we, in this case, being the FBI, about the threat of domestic terror to the Capitol.
Given the new reality we're facing, this new normal, do you think a commission along the lines of a 9/11 commission to determine not just what happened precisely on January 6th, but how it happened, should that be formed? Should that be created?
It absolutely should be. The example you just gave, 9/11, we did a commission. We did a commission after Pearl Harbor. And I think this is an event, a single point event that shocked the nation. And we deserve to understand what went into it, what we did wrong. And I think we will find a number of tactical things that went wrong in terms of defending that Capitol building. And we need to make sure it never happens again.
Symbolically, what effect does all this have on the U.S. population? And also on the flip side, how does this affect the way the U.S. is seen from abroad?
Let's take from abroad first. After all, the name of the show is The World. The reputation of the United States has been diminished in the eyes of the world by these events. Now, can we come back from that? Yes, we can. And the United States has certainly been through other instances of this, but we have work to do if we're going to bring that back. And I think inside the United States, Marco, I am hopeful that this will serve as at least something of a wake-up call to our population, that our politics of division, which are pulling us further and further apart, cannot be allowed to continue. We have work to do at home and abroad.
Retired Navy Admiral and former NATO Supreme Allied Commander James Stavridis speaking with us about U.S. national security in the aftermath of the Capitol breach last month. Thank you very much, Admiral.
Thanks, Marco.